Do you want to be the absolute best candidate for a job you'll love in a career with balance? Veteran leadership career catalyst Jonathan Flax is teaming up with leading executive search professionals to provide you with cutting-edge career transition strategies. Welcome to Career Transition Experts. And now, here's your host, Jonathan Flax.
Welcome. We have a really special guest on the Career Transition Experts this week. This is a friend of mine that goes way back. We've met through networks in New York. He's someone I've referred clients to who have had employment issues either on the employment side or on the employee side. His name is Gary Ireland. He's an employment specialist in the practicing of law and has a lot of insights in terms of the legal, but also the other strategic things people need to consider when making career transitions and just in their career management in general. So welcome, Gary. Thanks for being on the call.
Thanks for having me, Jonathan. I'm really excited to be here.
Excellent. Great. So tell us anything about your background that you think people should know, and then we'll get into what we're going to cover today.
I've done employment law for 25 years, and I've done a lot of other things that all support what I do in employment law. My objective is to, I work with employers and I also work with employees, and my objective is to get them to both work at their optimum performance so that we can have a great product, service, whatever it is, mostly services, and everybody wins. I mostly work on the employee side when it doesn't work out. Do some discrimination work and then help with transitions, with severance and things like that.
Got it. Okay. Very clear. So what would you say is the most important thing we're going to talk about today if people stick around and listen?
I think it's important to know before you start a job exactly what is expected of you, what the terms of your agreement are, and then have periodic reviews. And you're going to be able to evaluate your performance in the job, and they're going to be able to evaluate you as well. And that way, the expectations are well known.
Okay, very good. So I'm going to add that this is an important subject, kind of like in preparation for starting and managing a career within a job. This is important for people who are looking to make a change, to have a view of how they might do things differently before they leave, and how they might do things differently in a new job. So that if you gain some insights from this conversation, you're going to be more confident with wherever you are and wherever you're going in your career. And that confidence is going to be useful for you in your performance, but also in your interviewing. So let's get into what are some of the important things people need to understand in terms of what like managing expectations, as you said.
On your way in, you want to get everything that they want to govern your employment. So you want to look at your contract and make sure that you read it carefully. Read the employee handbook. You want to know what's going to govern what you're supposed to do. And then you want to have, an outline as specific as possible of what the expectations are. What is your job?
Mm. And your work with the people, how frequently do you find that advice isn't taken? Like how people start jobs with some vague notion or don't really have a clear outline?
Oftentimes they don't. They are, especially in these difficult times, they're desperate for a position. They look at the bottom line, it's X number of dollars with potential for a bonus that maybe there's some, perhaps some equity that may be elusive or non-existent, and they take it at face value. Read the contract and have somebody else read it over. Have an employment lawyer read it over.
Okay.
You want to know what you're getting into, and that's a first offer. Also, you can negotiate that.
I tell people that an offer comes as a dollar amount, but it comes out of something where there's a range. Talk to me about how you help people negotiate to get more of a base pay or other compensation benefits in starting a job.
That's a great question. One of the things that I want to do with management employees that the employer is spending a lot of money for, it takes so much more if it doesn't work out. So I try to bring in the employee with some sort of coaching, either coaching for the entire area that this person's going to be working in, or so that the person is set up for success. Because if someone's coming in laterally, particularly to a large company, oftentimes other people were vying for that job within the company. So there's going to be resentments towards this new employee who is just trying to do their job. So they come in and they need someone to help smooth the way so that they can make a transition that's going to be positive for everyone. Oftentimes the competitiveness within the culture defeats working on the mission of what they're supposed to be, the goals and the mission. And you see it all the time as well.
Yeah, I see that. I'm working with someone who's dealing with that now. So when someone gets a job offer, do you work with them on negotiating? I'm playing off a clue. I think I just heard you say something about negotiating out of the range, and
you're suggesting they
negotiate to have a coach to help them smooth the transition. But what are some other things they can use as leverage or other chips they can negotiate for?
Great question. So you're given an offer of X dollars, and you take it home, you read it over, and you give me a call. And I say, well, you know, that they talk about the possibility of equity, but there's no actual contract, you know, confirming that you're going to have an equity piece in the company. Also, there's, you know, so you want to hammer that out. And oftentimes I'll work behind the scenes, and there'll be areas within the range of direct compensation, bonuses. Are they based on, what are they tagged with? Are they tagged to performance? Are they tagged to the group's performance, personal performance? You want to know exactly what the expectations are so that you can go in as an employee and crush it and really exceed. But in order to do that, you have to know, A, what are the goals? Okay, so I when I work with employers or even employees, I suggest that they put the mission statement of the organization, particularly in nonprofits where it's oftentimes motivational, put that right on your computer screen. You know, either tape it on or have it running across the bottom so you remember why you're there, particularly if it motivates you. And then if you're, you want to know what you have to do, so you have the mission, and then what are you going to do to fulfill that mission? And what are you to support your boss also, because ultimately, no matter how well you do, you're going to be evaluated by someone above you, and you want to make sure that you're satisfying their needs professionally.
Yeah, and I would encourage people to take that to the next level of clarity, from not only knowing what those expectations are, that they're codified in language, but they're also some kind of numeric, like that almost anything can be measured, even if measured on like on a survey of satisfaction. Certainly expectations should be clear, and how a person's going to be measured, how a person's going to be, what they're going to be measured on should be described, and what those measures ought to be over what period of time. If you get that kind of level of clarity, then there can be no doubt, A, whether or not an employee has achieved their goals, and B, how they're doing along the way.
Right, and is all of this supporting the ultimate mission?
Right.
So if you've got everything supporting the mission statement, you've got the goals, you've got all of the, you know, so, and you have objectives and all of the criteria that are going to support this, and then make sure it goes up to the mission, and that your boss agrees with you that's a lofty goal.
That's got to be in alignment. Absolutely.
Right. And that
all, say some, yeah. I'm sorry, say that again.
That all should be written down, and periodically you're going to, I encourage my, the employees that work with me to ask for reviews. First of all, when they're coming in, okay, when would my first review be? And I would say as early as 3 months, even 2 months sometimes. So that and you can take corrective action if it's not exactly what they want. And when if there's a shift in priorities, make sure that you send in a confirming email. As we discussed earlier, you know, I want to make sure that I get this right. If there's anything different, please let me know. You know, but write it right down so that you have a record of any changes.
really good advice. And it's not just paranoia, but just good guidance to know you're going to be on track and in alignment to communicate, have something to refer to, and conversations disappear, but things in writing persist.
And it's not, you want to make sure that you have a tangible record, but you also, when people talk, sometimes they're just talking and they're kind of being more obscure. If you have written it down, you've sent it to them, you know, and asked them for any changes that they might have or any suggestions on how to get it done, then it's clear that you really want to get that done. And if they don't want to do that anymore, that's fine.
Yeah, big difference between conversation and something that's set in writing. Now, let's say someone has been working a place for a while and they've done some of the right things coming in, but then they find that there's some culture differences or interpersonal conflict arising, or they feel they're being discriminated against just in terms of inclusion or communication. What advice do you have for people when they're starting to feel a little drowned by a changing tide and a job?
So many times when employees will come to me and feel they're either being discriminated against or they're not sure they're being discriminated against, but they're not being treated fairly, they're being excluded from meetings, from email chains, from corporate gatherings or corporate Zooms, in this case, I guess, in this era, I suggest that they get a coach, because a coach is going to be able to parse out what's a personality, and you always want principles above personalities. You're not going to target someone. And you don't want to retaliate against them, especially if they're senior to you, but you're trying to keep your, that's why you have the mission, on your laptop, so that you remember why you're there. What are you trying to do? It's not, people get mad all the time and they, behave strangely and maybe not what we would perceive as in a positive way. Well, a lot of that stuff has to be ignored. You're trying to keep your focus on what the mission is. And if there's something wrong, discuss it with the person. I highly encourage that. So many people run right to HR and there's a place for that. But, it goes back to biblical times that you pull the person aside and ask them, listen, did I somehow offend you? Is there something I can do? I want to make sure I can do the best job for you possible. And can you let me know how that looks? And if I need improvement, let me know. Because we're all trying to do the best we can. And sometimes people get caught off guard and they're just not sure how to react. It's difficult to ask somebody, how can I improve, oftentimes. But I encourage my clients to be candid. Listen, since there was some tension, is there something I'm not getting, I'm not doing right? Because I want to make sure I can do the best job I can for you. Because ultimately, you have to, please your boss and hopefully well overcome any obstacles.
Yeah. And what you're speaking to also just really underscores that almost everyone would rather deal with someone who's pointing the finger for themselves. How can I do better? Rather than blaming that, no one wants to be blamed. People can respond better when, you're finding you're having difficulty and you blame others, you have no power to do anything about it. But if you take on responsibility yourself and ask them, how can we collaborate? That's much more powerful.
How many times have you had people come to you and say, my boss is a jerk, what do I do? Well,
yeah.
Let's have another conversation there. Because he or she is the boss.
Man in the mirror conversation.
Yes. Yes.
You can change exactly. You want to be. All right, we're on the same page with that. I often ask my guests on this program, what's the dumbest thing? Give me an example of one of the dumbest things you've seen smart people do.
I think I said it earlier that they'll look at the bottom line, they'll see a number and they'll be like, excellent. They're a little bit desperate for a job. And I see it more and more now where you'll have mid to senior level executives that may have been rattled a little because of the last 6 months and they are desperate for a job and they take any job. I encourage people to go to coaches and really good coaches that will explore with them what their needs are. You could maybe it involves testing, It may, where's your skill set? Where interests lie? Have they changed since you started? You know, I have a lot of people that started maybe as traders and want to go into something different now. Their priorities have changed. They want to spend more time with their families. They don't want to get up quite as early as they used to. Whatever it is, think about why you want to get this job. Is it because of your ego, or is it because you really want this job?
Yeah. It's really a good thing, a good point. And if a person takes a job that they're not really a certain or borderline passion for, right. It's going to show up in their performance.
What's the saying? You know, if you have a job you're passionate about, you'll never work a day in your life, or something like that. And that's so true.
Certainly has truth to it, although it's some people would say that's a bit Pollyanna. But if you don't love it to at least a good degree, like where you're going, like who you're working with, energized to get there every day, willing to put aside certain attitudes and judgments so that you can bring joy and positive energy to your work, your performance is going to suffer, and it's too competitive a world. So taking a job you don't really feel is a fit for you, while it might be right there, is actually just a recipe for disaster for more people than just you.
If your
wait
job,
the next one comes, and being more clear, and that is what we do as coaches, to help our clients do that.
You want the values of the client, at least that's what I encourage, and that's why I encourage them working with coaches, their values to align with the work they're doing. That's ultimate. Now, obviously there's things, in my job that I love, and there's things in my job that are less desirable. So, and that's life. But overall, you want a job that you're proud of and that you love going to work. I know you're a hard guy to get in touch with, and that's because you love your job, because you're working with your clients and you're seeing them succeed. And I'm the same way. We want our clients to succeed.
Yep. I appreciate that. Although people can reach me by reaching out via email, and my assistant will put you on the calendar if there's something relevant you want to talk about. So anytime, Gary. And my door is always open to you, for sure.
Thank you.
One more question.
I'm busy because you're scheduled, because you do good work, you represent your clients well, and I've spoken to you so many times, and that passion is there, and I share that passion.
Yeah, I get that.
We're having this conversation for a reason.
I can really acknowledge the same of you, Gary, and but the risk of this turning into a love fest, and we want to include our listeners. I have one more question I think they'll find relevant. What's a surprising situation let me see if I can phrase this question right. If people knew that they could get this value that you're going to describe, this kind of outcome or insights from you by coming to see you or talking to you earlier than they might have otherwise considered it, what is that? So you know what I'm saying? Like, people might think lawyers are the last resort, or they have whatever attitude they have. What's the surprising, fantastic thing someone would get from talking to you that if they knew it, they'd be really well served?
That's a great question. And sometimes there is a place where the position you're in is just so untenable that and they feel they have to hold on until they get fired. And really, they want to come in early. If you know you're being treated differently because of your age, your gender, or you're being harassed, then coming to me early is really important, because we can position you in for success rather than, and if it's not going to work out, we can position you for getting, moving on to your next opportunity, hopefully with a good severance, rather than being terminated and then having to fight your way back to try to get some sort of severance, or you want to make it clear to the company that you're not being treated fairly, and that's so clear. And if you're having a problem that's a personality problem, keep your eye on the mission, figure out how to remedy that, and that's where somebody may come to me, and I would recommend a coach.
Gotcha.
I deal with the legal implications and then the other issues. I can talk to them about it, but I really, it's more beneficial for them to see someone else and work it. Because ideally, it's better for the company
And it's better for the employee to try to work it out if they can, and if they can't, to figure out an amicable separation. Most companies, and employees don't realize this, but most companies I've worked with want their former employees to be ambassadors. Sometimes you'll see icons that are like alumni of big bank or, you know, big investment bank. And there's a reason for that. They're trying to, you know, create goodwill, even if it doesn't work out.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's really a great point that before someone's terminated and has to fight their way back to some kind of remuneration, to have a conversation with you early about the legal implications, to get you on their side so that if there is a need, you're already up to speed, that you and I can cross-refer so you can help them with the legal aspects. I can help them with the leadership and communication aspects. We both cross over a little there, although when I tell a client that we're starting to drift into legal territory, I say to them, I cannot give you legal advice. What did I just say? And I have them repeat it. So they're really clear that I'm not an attorney and I refer them to you. So that's really clear. Anything else you want people to know that would help them along their journey?
Well, there's a lot of areas that I've covered. I worked in environmental law. I did the beach erosion litigation out on the east end of Long Island in the Hamptons. And I actually ran for mayor out there. And I've worked with providing opportunities for the LGBT community and girls in the Boy Scouts. And actually, the first class of female Eagle Scouts will be graduating next month, and my daughter's going to be one of them. That's something for a long time. All of these things that I've worked on have a theme, and the theme is to try to make the world and particularly the employment place better, to create opportunities for both the employer and the employee. Because I think so many employers just hire someone and they figure they're gonna, with very little training, are gonna know what they think and how to behave. And that's almost never the case. And employees go in and they don't wanna ask questions because they don't wanna seem stupid. And that's a disaster. So I think there has to be I always say this to both employers and employees, that there has to be a dialogue. And if you want employees to behave a certain way, you've got to train employees, and you've got to also try to show them why it's important. Everything from, you know, you want to create systems that create a positive outcome if you're an employer. And as an employee, you want to learn those systems and you want to ask a lot of questions. Is there a specific way you want this done? And if there isn't, try to develop a system and then present that to them, because then you're solving a problem for the next person, because presumably someone's going to take your job when you move on and you'll have all the systems in place. So I think, you know, and those are not just ways to survive in a job. I want my clients to thrive.
Yeah. Really great. You and I share that passion that people thrive, are successful and happy and balanced in their careers. These are great tips, folks. If you're listening, pause the recording, rewind, listen to that again, take some notes. It's really great sage advice. Last question, Gary. Personal. Favorite band or a songwriter or a singer?
You know, I knew you're a musician and really talented, and I knew you were going to ask that. So, you know, I'm really a product of my era, and I really liked, and I had to get together some music for my wife's ceremony. She passed away about a year ago. We had, you know, Cat Stevens, we had James Taylor, we had John Prine, and then you know, my daughter loves was Maud Latour, who I've been listening to all summer. So we've been living under the same roof. So I think she's a student locally at Columbia or Barnard, and I love music. And I love the way it makes me feel. So I go for things that make me feel positive, and sometimes things that just make me feel, because I think that's so important.
Great, great. All right. Well, thanks very much, Gary Ireland. How can people reach you if they want to find you?
Sure, you can reach me at gary@irelandlaw.net, or my website is www.irelandlaw.net. I welcome speaking to anybody, and thank you so much for having me, Jonathan, and good luck in your show tonight.
Thanks very much. Yeah, we'll put that in the program notes, and thanks very much. All the best to you and everyone listening.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening to the Career Transition Experts. Please make sure to listen to our next episode. And if at any time you want a clear view of the entire career transition process and a sense of where your strengths are and where your challenges are to work on, you'll get your free access to my career TPS assessment at careerexcitement.com. That's www.careerexcitement.com. TPS stands for Transition Performance Snapshot. This is Jonathan Flax wishing you outstanding career success and satisfaction in balance. Looking forward. Bye for now.